Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. With a flu shot unreliable this year, a particularly virulent form of the flu circulating and antiviral drug stockpiles dwindling, the best medicine is preventive medicine to bolster our immune defenses. That's why I've created the Intelligent Medicine Seasonal Immune Support Protocol, my supplement recommendations offering the greatest boost for your immune system when it's needed most. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com for more information. And for a limited time, you'll get 10% off and free shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. And it's our weekly Q&A with Layla, wherein we answer your questions. Your questions can come to us via radioprogram@AOL.com. And also, as convenience to listeners, let me mention that we put together actually a separate website. drhoffman.com is the website for intelligent medicine. drhoffmanstore.com is a place you can go to for some protocols that I'm developing. I've developed three so far, and we're going to keep rolling out protocols. People just say, look, I want to know specifically what to take for this, that, and the other. So we have a starter pack, which is the things that people should take. Mm-hmm. If you just want to, you know, dip your toe in this and, you know, you can't do yourself any harm. Mm-hmm. And it will be a good basis, a foundation for a supplement program. Mm-hmm. That's there. Also, in February, we started the heart health protocol. We're going to keep that going through March and beyond. The basic things that you need to take for heart health, if you have high cholesterol or you've been told you have cardiovascular risk, calcium score that's high, mm-hmm. You know, family history of cardiovascular disease, that may be something you may want to look at.
Yep.
Also, the immune support protocol, the flu epidemic is fortunately, we're turning the corner on it, but people are still said to be at risk until May.
Yeah.
So boost your immunity.
Mm-hmm.
Springtime is also a time of change, and sometimes people come down with things. The immune support protocol is there as well. So check it out. Also, products are now 10% off this month.
Terrific.
So let's go to our next question.
We've got an email. Dr. Hoffman, I'm a longtime listener. You mentioned how you receive your grass-fed beef delivered to your home. I'm always concerned about the quality, if it's truly grass-fed. So I'm concerned about the quality of the meat. Who do you buy from? I live in northern New Jersey. Okay. Well, there.
Northern Jersey is a good place to get that from because there are farms in New Jersey.
Yeah. There's a particular website, U.S. Mm-hmm. Wellness Meats is what mm-hmm. it's called, uswellnessmeats.com, that I direct all of our patients who are interested in getting their grass-fed meat online and truly pastured chicken and all of that and natural pork and lamb and all of the above, including things like sausage, bacon, nitrate-free,
and
any of that.
And I get, and by the way, in Hillsborough, New Jersey, I don't know where that is in New Jersey, but it's New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
There's something called Lima Family Farms.
Mm.
And you can actually go there. It's really cool if you have kids or grandkids.
Go hang at the farm.
You can visit. They have also a farmer's market in Princeton. And it's in Hillsborough, New Jersey. And they have, they raise their own animals. And that's where I get some of my stuff from.
Terrific.
Let's see. And they have pork, beef, lamb, frozen chickens in the winter, and eggs.
Mm-hmm.
And I get some of my stuff from there, too.
There you go. Now, with grass-fed beef, you want to make sure that it's grass-finished. Often, a good supplier will tell you that it is indeed grass-finished because all cattle start eating grass. And then they're off to the factory farms where they're fed corn, soy, antibiotics, and all the other mm-hmm. growth things, hormones and things that they're given in their feed. Another one that's gotten on my radar is called ButcherBox.com. I've mm-hmm. not tried it myself. I'm going to soon, but it's gotten on my radar. It's been recommended by some very quality practitioners in our realm. So I do want to check it out. And that could be something. There was even a video they had on, are you cutting your meat the right way, like against the grain? You want to make sure, because if you're cutting your steak wrong, it's tough. And it could also be tough to chew. So it's a matter of cutting against the grain.
Correct.
Or something, which is very interesting. Mm-hmm. And I found it a very helpful website. So I'll be ordering from there soon.
And by the way, and I'll weigh in on it. When you're using grass-fed meat, it is a little bit of a cultivated taste because it can be a little chewier, a little tougher. You know, because these animals actually get some exercise. They're out, you know, walking around.
Yes.
Not penned up. And they're
less fatty.
They're less fatty,
and they don't contain the excess water that are delivered via antibiotics in the factory farmed animals.
Yeah, they pump them up.
They do.
And they also deliberately keep them sedentary so that they have no muscles.
Yeah,
you know,
that's where all that marbling
is softer because. Yeah. You know, like, cannibalism is out of fashion, but, you know, I just would dread, you know, the prospect of someone eating me from their standpoint.
Right.
Because, you know, I'm pretty lean and muscular and like, yeah, come on, that's going to be a...
You're too chewy.
I'm too chewy. Yeah. But, you know, pen me up and feed me, you know, corn and soy and, you would get more marbled.
Right, right. And your daily dose of arsenic in the feed and the antibiotics.
Some antibiotics, and... yeah.
Right. So, yeah, so
By the way, I just had some brisket, I think, is from there. And, oh, my goodness.
Yum.
It was expensive because it's a big brisket. I put it in a crock pot and we cooked it for like a really long time. Mm-hmm. And then I took the gravy and I took some mushrooms, potatoes, green pepper, and carrots, and I made a stew out of the gravy. And so, you know, we say this, you know, I'm on sort of a paleo diet. You might think, well, I'm eating meat. All I need is just a little chunk, little square of the brisket. And then with the vegetables, that makes a really hearty meal.
It does.
You know, maybe a little salad on the side. But that itself, I mean, relatively low carb. Yes, there's some potatoes and carrots in there. But
it could be a 4 to 6 ounce portion or something. If you're a really hungry man, it could be an 8 ounce portion. That's fine.
But it is stick to your ribs food, boy.
Yes.
I tell you.
Yes. Yes. So check those out. U.S. Wellness Meats, Grassland Meats, Butcher Box, Lima Farms.
Yep.
Was that? It, Dr. Hoffman?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And by the way, I get no kickback from them, so, you know, just tell them what we sent you.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is a good point at which to pause and allow one of our sponsors to share a message with you, so here goes.
This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by ProPax with NT Factor, a complete vitamin and mineral formula. NT Factor is the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause. Whether it be age, illness, or just being run down. NT Factor repairs damaged cells, restores healthy bacteria in your digestive tract. Clinical trials have shown NT Factor reduces fatigue by almost half, and it even reverses some symptoms of aging. I've been taking NT Factor for years, and now the 45-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose. To order, call 800-982-9158. That's 800-982-9158. Or go to ntfactor.com. That's ntfactor.com.
Thanks for listening and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a free resource to you. And so now back to Layla with our additional questions.
We have an email from Richard. Hi, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. I'm considering taking beta-sitosterol to avoid an enlarged prostate and to maintain my normal cholesterol levels. Hmm. Do you recommend beta-sitosterol for prostate and heart health? And if so, what kind of dosage?
You know, I got to say that I've sort of followed this. Beta-sitosterol or sitosterol, not sure what the correct pronunciation is a derivative of...
plant sterols, which are the plant cholesterols.
Plant cholesterols, right.
Yeah.
But it's actually a derivative of, the original prostate formulas, which are derived from saw palmetto. Now, saw palmetto has become practically an endangered species. It's become a very expensive commodity. Notwithstanding that, I think, isn't it South Carolina, the saw palmetto state or something like that? You know, it's actually the national tree or plant. So, or the state tree or plant. But salt palmetto is an expensive ingredient. So what they did was they sort of extrapolated. So, well, there's a lot of European studies on salt palmetto. Mm-hmm. And so beta-sitosterol can be refined. I'm not sure where they get it from, but it's a much cheaper, it's a much cheaper ingredient.
Yeah.
And they're putting it into prostate formulas, and the inference is that you'll get all the benefits of salt palmetto. The studies are mostly on salt palmetto, not beta-sitosterol.
That's interesting.
And beta-sitosterol is not that potent a cholesterol antagonist.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
It might take up some of the space of the receptors.
Yeah,
where cholesterol
competes with it, you know, for the uptake of something. You know, but I got to say that...
Get some from avocado.
Yeah, I think eating foods sterol. Is a better, you know, foods that are rich in plant sterols.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, as to the prostate benefits, I think they're slight. I think that if you have an enlarged prostate, that it's not going to do much good. It's not going to shrink your prostate. Mm. You know, you need to take Avodart, or you need to take, okay. You know, the other one, the predecessor to Avodart, Propecia, well, not Propecia, Propecia for hair, but Proscar.
Proscar.
Those are stronger.
Yeah.
Your medications. They have side effects.
Is there an optimal dose of saw palmetto that you
320
might...
milligrams to 640 milligrams a day.
A day. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, you know, I think the principle I work in is that I use it for prevention. I think younger men should be taking it. I've been taking it since I've been about 40 or 35. Mm-hmm. And, you know, lo and behold, I'm 65 and I'm free of most of the problems that men start experiencing at this age. And maybe
Terrific.
It's diet, maybe it's heredity, but maybe it's the fact that I don't think a day goes by that I don't take a couple of saw palmettos.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
With pygium and maybe some pumpkin seed extract. You know, those
pumpkin
are
seeds,
common.
Nettles.
Yeah, those formulas are kind of incorporate all those ingredients.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, I just think beta-sitosterol is kind of a shortcut, in my opinion.
Hmm. Okay. Richard, thank you for your question. And if your cholesterol levels are normal, I wouldn't mess with it.
You know, it's like, why lower something that's good?
Right. Right. And that has its drawbacks, too.
Oh,
too low cholesterol.
Big time.
Right.
Yeah, as we've discussed. Just go to LDL Skeptic.
Yeah.
Who is, you know, we interviewed him for one of our podcasts. Really very, very interesting.
We have an email from Leonard. Can you tell me which vitamin supplement can be taken to control gum inflammation?
Oh.
Yeah. A few years ago, I had a serious problem and inflammation below a lower tooth. I was listening to Dr. Richard Ash, who unfortunately passed away. He recommended taking a supplement, one capsule, three times a day. I did this in lieu of an antibiotic, and the results were fantastic.
We discussed this before, this one.
Did we? Okay.
Yeah. So, things that help gums, coenzyme Q10.
Yes.
And
Tea tree oil. Maybe rubbing them.
Vitamin C, because gum disease is often related to vitamin C.
Yes,
Clear. Xylitol, which is the form of spry gum.
Spry gum, toothpaste.
Yeah, these are helpful for gum disease.
Yeah, yeah. And since Leonard is having trouble remembering the name of the supplement, can you help restore my failing memory?
And I have no idea what Dr. Ash was alluding to.
Okay.
You know, I really don't.
Yeah. Okay.
And he's deceased and we can't ask him.
Yeah, yeah. But for memory, a good supplement, phosphatidylserine comes to mind.
I've long forgotten.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. That's funny. Ba-dum-bum. Okay. We have an email from Patricia. Dr. Hoffman, I had my gallbladder removed about 40 years ago. My only problem is when I ingest 16 grams or more of fat at a meal, my stool is a clay color. Should I reduce my fat intake, or is this not a problem? Thank you for your insight.
Well, this is interesting because, you know, I just did a lot of research on this because I did a series on gallbladder disease.
Yeah,
and,
recently.
I actually, it was also part of TAP, you know, which is an educational service for doctors. So I think I had to really, you know, I hate to say this, but, you know, I could maybe slip by, you know, with the public. Uh-huh. Although I tell you, I can't catch a break because usually there's some, if I say something wrong, somebody out there is going to be all over me. So, and I'm receptive to that. If you, you know, think you catch me in a contradiction or you see something that I've said that it goes against your experience of the scientific literature, please challenge me. I'm always anxious to hear your feedback. But when you do it for health professionals, you have to be even more
rigorous.
Mm-hmm. So the subject was, after you have your gallbladder out, are there some really severe consequences in terms of your diet? Do you have to really limit fat? Mm. Are you going to be in trouble with indigestion after eating certain foods for the rest of your life? And that's important because, now it's so easy to get your gallbladder out that we tend to think, might as well take it out. And is there a really good reason to keep it in? Because for the rest of your life, you might be malabsorbing fat, or you might have deficiencies of fat-soluble nutrients, and that can be a big problem. What I find is that it's usually, this is a little bit of an outlier. Most people don't have a lot of problems. Mm-hmm. In fact, part of the problem is that when you have a gallbladder and you have gallbladder attacks, you tend to eat more sparingly and limited. And once you have it out, it's like, oh, that's great. I can eat what I want. And then I notice people gain a lot of weight.
Because they had to be so restrictive before.
However, there's some people have problems. Now, why is that? You know a little bit about the physiology of the gallbladder. Why don't you explain
it? Yeah, the gallbladder is actually a depot where the bile that's produced by the liver is stored. And every time we eat a fatty meal, a little fat, a lot of fat, the gallbladder is then signaled to contract.
You get a signal from something called CCK, or cholecystokinin. Mm-hmm. Cholecystokinin, like cholecystectomy, cholecystokinin. Kinin means to move, or, like kinetic energy. Cholecystokinin makes the bladder move.
Yes.
And it signals the gallbladder to release
the bile.
The bile.
Mm. Yeah.
So you have a whole depot of bile.
Yeah.
You have more bile there.
Right.
So when you don't have a gallbladder, what happens? Well, you still secrete bile.
Yes.
The bile's coming from
someplace. It just
someplace.
Doesn't have a storage facility anymore.
It's coming from
anymore.
The liver. And it's secreted more continuously, not in a big burst.
Right.
So
Free flow.
Yeah. So I can understand that there would be a limit to how much fat you can take, because after, if you have a gallbladder, you might have a lot more bile at one sitting, mm-hmm. whereas you have a continuous flow and you may exceed your capacity to digest fat, which, I don't know, maybe good in a way. It puts the brakes on fat intake.
If the clay-colored stool is just
clay-colored stool is an indication of bile stasis, not enough bile.
Yeah.
So when people have what's called cholestasis, which happens in some diseases like in cancer or in severe gallbladder disease, usually
or gallbladder sludge.
So what happens is the bile doesn't get in the stool; it gets in the blood, and you start to turn yellow. Your eyeballs turn yellow. So you get jaundice. And the stool is clay colored, which means the pigment, which is a dark color, it is not imparted to the stool. So it's actually sort of tan stool. So I guess there is a this does suggest a bit of a problem with the bile secretion in this person. She could take, there are supplements that contain some ox bile, pancreatic enzymes with ox bile.
That would be helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if she would be helped by doing a little bit of a detox, taking some dandelion or clover something to help stimulate bile synthesis.
Exactly. No, that you're thinking along the right lines. Yeah.
That could be something. Yeah. Okay.
And it may be that for other reasons she doesn't have a healthy liver.
And that should be investigated, Patricia, with your doctor. Yeah. Get that checked out. Liver enzymes.
I mean, is such a thing as a post-cholecystectomy syndrome, where some people don't really resolve their symptoms, or they have a long-lasting sequel to their gallbladder disease. Yeah. So maybe she's suffering from that.
Okay.
She didn't say she was having diarrhea, though.
Nope. Just clay-colored stool.
Okay.
All right. Good luck to you, Patricia.
Yeah, but my conclusion after reviewing the literature is that contrary to some alarmist websites that say, don't ever have your gallbladder out. You need it because you'll be crippled and impaired for life. It's like mostly people are okay. And there are tens of millions of people walking around without gallbladders.
Yeah.
And you know why they're in trouble?
Hmm.
They die earlier. You know why they die earlier? It's not because they don't have gallbladders. It's because the same risk factors that cause gallbladder disease also cause diabetes, cardiovascular disease, obesity. Uh-huh. And so having gallbladder disease early in life is mm-hmm. often a marker for metabolic syndrome, insulin resistance.
Interesting.
And, you know, is a harbinger of those diseases later in life.
Yeah.
Interesting. Not always, but
not
sometimes.
Not always, but yeah. Sometimes. Okay.
I mean,
it's not for lack of a gallbladder that you would die earlier.
No, right. It would seem like, oh my God, yeah. These people, if you look at statistics, people who've had their gallbladder out, they die younger.
Mm.
But it's not because they had their gallbladder taken out.
Yeah. Fascinating stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, we try to drill down on that. All right. Well, that's, I think, all the time that we have for today's broadcast. So once again, please check out FullScript, 10% discount this month. It's a great opportunity to introduce yourself to it's a whole new way of ordering and a way of exploring literally tens of thousands of products that are stocked there. And we'll keep curating products and making sure that the products you need are available to you on FullScript. So thanks, Layla, for joining us.
Thank you very much, Dr. Hoffman. Thank you, everybody.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.